Boker Tov world. So today's daf in Mesechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Gimel, and we've plowed ahead a bit over here because it was difficult to figure out where exactly we wanted to stop, and we've gone through all kinds of different cases that touched upon even the issue of nolad, what would be considered to be nolad. We had the funny case where the washerman actually bopped Rabbi Yossi over the head because he was driving the Chachomim crazy to find him a petach, and we said even that's not considered to be neilad. By the way, I want to bring up a very interesting psak halacha of the Ramah, once we're talking about nolad, that the idea of neilad, ein potchim benolad, that is true. We cannot be poter b'nolad. But suppose somebody is mitcharet b'ikora because of nolad. In other words, suppose a guy comes in and he says, listen, if I would have known that this guy that I hate and I said I'm not going to ever walk into that house, you know, that he would turn it into a shtiebel, you know, and that's where everybody davens, and I'm not going to be able to daven there because I said it's usher on me to walk in. So if I would have taken that into consideration. I mean, now I'm sorry I ever got involved in this because now I'm really in tzaras. I never would have made that neder. So that's not a petach, because what he's saying is, I'm sorry I ever made that neder, and that's a real charata. So for us to say to a person, if you had realized that it would become a shtiebel, would you have made the neder? That's not a valid petach, because he wouldn't have realized. There is no way to imagine that that's what he would have been thinking, that this guy's house would turn into the shtiebel, and he wasn't going to be able to daven. But that doesn't mean that he cannot say about his own neder, what did I need to make a neder, and who knows what kind of tzaras you're going to get into. Now I see, I just shouldn't have made a neder. That's a perfectly valid charata, just like any other charata. It's very interesting. That's how the Ramah paskens. So even though we're coming out over here that ein potchim benolad, it means davka ein potchim benolad. And then we got into another fascinating question, which is, can you be matir the neder on the very basis of the thing that the neder was made on? And this was the case where Abaye said that his wife should be usher b'hana'ah if she lets her daughter go and marry her relatives. Yeah, she has to marry my relatives. And okay, fine. So we said over there that it was okay to be matir. Rabbi Yosef went ahead and was be matir him on the basis of a petach, which went, if you would have realized that she wouldn't listen to what you were saying anyway, so would you have made the neder? And he said, no, so then I wouldn't have made the neder. So then he was matir. So this is where we're up to, because that seems very strange. I mean, if the basis of a neder is the fact that I'm trying to get somebody to actually do something, and I'm serious about what I'm saying, if you do this, I'm going to be very angry, and I don't want to be. So how can you say that basically you are really would never have made the neder? So in other words, what it is that you're saying under those circumstances is that essentially, this is the way the Miri actually explains it, that this type of thing you can only say when the neder was something that is trying to get someone to do what you want. So he was trying to get his wife to do what he wants, to marry her daughter off to his relative. So in that sense, the neder is nidrei ziruzin, in that it's a, I forgot what we called it, but it's a neder that pushes a person in a certain direction. But that doesn't mean that we would necessarily be able to use a petach like that if it were a regular neder. But since the whole point is, look, the only reason you made this neder was to get your wife to do what you wanted her to do, if you would have realized that she's not going to do what you want to do anyway, so what would be the point? So then that's making it like the Arba Nedarim, which is what the Gemara said before, that a petach has to be something that makes it similar to the type of neder that we said, that it's clear that that is not what it is that the intent was of Chatzila. But today, we got up to the point where the Gemara is asking, does it really make sense to be matir, a neder, by the very issue that the neder was there to try to force the person into doing? So this is where we're up to today. And this is above the Mishnah, and Mishori Ki Hai Gavna is where we're up to, which is four lines above the Mishnah. So Rav Yosef was Matir Abaye because of the fact that his wife didn't listen to him. Asks the Gemara, Mishori Ki Hai Gavna? I mean, can you use the Neder itself as a heter? And the Gemara says, yes, and I'll bring you a Maisa from a Braita. Vatanya, here's the same Maisa, and it has all of these Yesedas that Rabbi Yosef just said. The idea was that it was a guy, Maaseh Adam Echad, Shehidira Tishto Mila'alot L'Regel. He did not want his wife going up to the Regel. Now, the question over here is, this is talking about way after the Churban, a bias. So how in the world are we bringing this, Bali Fnei Rabbi Yosi? I mean, this doesn't make any sense. How could it be going up to the regal? So the truth is that the Rush says that it doesn't mean the regal to go up to Yerushalayim. It means that they used to have, some learned they used to have in Yerushalayim, actually, and that it does mean the regal, but not for Karbonis in the regal, but they used to have a gathering on Yom Tov, even after the Churban HaBayis, so that people would come and they would hear Shiurim, and they would come together, so it would be a chizuk that at least they would come up to Yerushalayim, even if they weren't able to be Makriv Korbanos. However, what's very interesting is that there are some of the Mefarshim who say that long after the Churban HaBayis, they still used to bring Korbanos, because of the fact that we paskin that we're Makrivim, Afapisha ain't bias. And what about the question of Tuma? So we find in the Gemara that for many years after the Churban, centuries even, and we find even in the time of the Gemara, there were places where they had the Efer Porah, and they would be metire themselves from Tumas Meis. So on that basis, you could learn that it means literally, Milalot the regal. It would be sort of like the way today, you know, people look at the weirdos that go up to the that go up to the Arabayas and so on, right? Okay, but it would be the same kind of thing. So this guy did not want his wife involved with these weirdos, you know. So he made a netter that she shouldn't go. And she went. So he came to Rabbi Yossi, see if he could be martyred the netter where he had ossered her on Yana and Omar Lo. He said exactly what we found Rabbi Yossi said over here. Ilu hayita yodea shoveret al da'atcha v'lo l'regal. If you had known l'chatchila that she wasn't going to pay any attention to this, would you have made the neder? Amar lo, lo. So he said, no, absolutely not. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi was matirim. Now, it's very fascinating that the Ran goes through the interrelationship between the various nidre ziruzim. As I pointed out to you before, it's interesting that the Me'iri says that the only time that you could use this is where, in a sense, these are nidre ziruzin. In what sense? In the sense that I'm saying something to try to get someone to do what I want. It's not that it's really a neder that affects me and so on, but I'm threatening someone with a neder, which is basically what nidre ziruzin are. You know, well, I'm telling you right now, if you're not going to pay my price, then blah, 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 right? Okay, but that. So we say, okay, there, we don't need bichlal. Now, there's also a Nidre Zirusin that we're about to have in the next mission we're about to learn, which according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is, that if a guy wants someone to eat with him, so he can threaten him with a neder, and he can say, well, if you don't come and eat with me, then you're going to be Osir Ba'ana'ar. I'm going to be Osir Ba'ana'ar. We'll talk out in the Gemara what exactly the neder is. But he says, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that itself is Nidre Zirusin. So the Ran says, so if that itself is Nidre Ziruzim, then why isn't this Nidre Ziruzim? Why would we actually need to have Rabbi Yossi find this as a petach, that Ilu Ayit Yodea, that she wasn't going to listen to you? Why don't we just say that since all he was trying to do was to get her to listen to him, so then that's ipso facto Nidre Ziruzim. Isn't that the same as the case of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? Where if the guy doesn't want to eat by you, so then he says, okay, so then fine, it's clear that your neder was just a threat. So basically, the Ran is mechalik on three madregas of Nidre Ziruzim, and that not all of them are muskim by everyone, as we'll see. One, it turns out to be a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Chachomim. So the opening case of the Nidre Zirusim was an actual umdana, where everybody knows that the way that negotiations are conducted is for people to stake out a stand that they don't really mean. And they make a big fuss about it to scare the other guy off, and, you know, don't try to make me an offer that's less than that, because you're going to get bopped in the nose, whatever. And there are people that actually, I know people that conduct negotiations like that. They simply scare the other person after this. It's not worth fighting over, you know, because this guy's such an idiot. They make themselves look like completely insane people, and they're very successful by doing it because nobody wants to up with them. Okay, but anyway, that's one way of conducting negotiations. So that's like a Nidre Zirusin, where everybody knows that there never was a real intent to make the netter like that, and that's just the way it goes. That's, everybody agrees to that level of Nidre Zirusin. Then there's a concept of Nidre Zirusin, which is called obviously disproportionate nedarim, meaning that it's true that just because a netter is made in order to try to stimulate someone to do what you want to do or scare them into doing what you want to do, that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't mean it. You could really mean it because you're angry. If you don't want to do what I do, I'm really mad. So that, even though we know that the guy in the end really just wants to make sure that his wife doesn't go up to the regal, or that his wife marries her daughter off to his relative, we can't say that it's obvious that the person wouldn't want to have expressed his anger by saying, forget it, so then don't be nene. Masha Enkein, there's a middle grounds, which is called a disproportionate netter. So a disproportionate netter would mean the guy wants, he really does want this person to eat by him. And if the person doesn't eat by him, he's really angry. But because he's angry, what would be a proportionate netter? Okay, so I swear I'm not going to go to your daughter's wedding next week. That's a proportionate netter. But to say you should be usher b'ano permanently from me because you didn't come in, then it's so disproportionate that it doesn't seem to add up. So over there, that's the machlokas Reb Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim. It's according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, even though it's not quite as good as Nidre Zirusin, where it's clear milechatchila, that of course the person, that's always just the way that you do negotiations. You cannot say that in the case of Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, where a guy is upset that someone refuses to come in and eat by him. But you could certainly say, I mean, this guy is sort of weird to make a netter like that, right? So therefore, according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, that is enough to make it a Nidre Zirusin even on the face of it. This, however, that you need, even if it is not Nidre Zirusin, so this is how the Ran interrelates two things. Even if it's not Nidre Zirusin, and for instance, a fascinating would be that we learned before that if a person is ma'amid himself on his statement, so let's say in the classic case where he said, I'm not going to sell it for one penny less than a seller. And the other guy says, well, I ain't going to pay one penny more than a dinner, than a shekel, right? So in that case, we do learn that if they're maimedes divrayim, they say, what do you mean nidre zirusin? I'm 100% serious. I absolutely don't want to sell it. Now, suppose he does that. So then the netter is chal. However, can you make a petach even afterwards? This is what the Ran points out. If afterwards the Chacham says to him, let me ask you something. Would you have been maimid divrecha if you would have realized that it isn't going to move the other guy an inch and he's not going to get a little bit closer to your price? So then you can still say, no, I wouldn't have made the netter, because the idea of nidre zirusin, even if they would be chal, can still be opened by a petach which points out that you didn't get very far with your zeros now, did you? So then it would be the same thing as the question of the woman who was to her husband didn't want to go up to the Aliyah L'Regel. So effectively, it's all really the same issue, and it's just a question of how obvious it is. Is it mamish an umdana? So then you don't even need to go to a chacham. Is it something that is looks like it, because it's so disproportionate, but I couldn't say to you 100%, then according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, it's still Nidre Zirusin. If it's something where the person might really mean it, or he insists that he does really mean it, we still have this Gemara, which says that as long as it is in the general direction of Nidrei Zeruzin, at least this is the way the Miri learned, and that the neder was made in order to force someone to get closer to your position or to accept what it is that you're saying, that if in the end it didn't work, so it was clear. So what do I want to make a neder? I'm not just here to make the neder. I'm not just taking out on him. I'm trying to get him to change. If he's not going to change, what's the point? So then that would turn any neder essentially in that direction into a nidrei zeruzin as a valid petach. That's how the Ran learns it. Now, I must tell you that there are other Rishonim who say that it's not limited in that way. So, for instance, there's a Ramban that talks about a tzibur that actually puts someone into a position where this guy has been found, let's say, shoplifting, right? They found him shoplifting 10 times. So they say to him, okay, then you have to be mekabel neder that if you are ever found shoplifting again, so then you're usher bana on all of the pairs of this town. Now, this was an actual mice that happened. Anyway, the guy was found shoplifting again, right? So now the question was, can you be matir the neder in the same way? Because this is not nidrei zeruzin. I mean, this is like more of a fine kind of thing, right? It's a knas. And the Ramban paskim that you can be matir the neder with the same idea of Rabbi Yossi's heter over here, that if you would have realized that this guy cannot stop shoplifting, right, then what would have been the point of making the neder? So there, too, was understood that it wasn't really a knas, and that they were hoping that they could control, obviously this is a psychological condition, so they were hoping that the guy could come under control by being put under pressure. And the point is that then they came to realize that, you know, a psychological condition, or a Yetzer Hara that is, you know, in their terms, a Yetzer Hara that is impossible to resist. So this guy, I mean, obviously nowadays we have, you know, psychological terms for all of these conditions. I can't stop picking up other people's money and so on. Fine, there are such things. So then there's no point, because it just boiled down to the hope that he would be able to control himself if there were more serious consequences. And if he can't, so then he can't. So what's the point of making him now be nichshal also in the neder? There's no point in that either. So this is an extension, I think, beyond just the Meiri's point. So these type of issues still have a lot of elasticity and need to be examined on a case-by-case basis to see how the Rishonim would hold about it. So anyway, now it's time for our own, very own, Kapitan, who is going to introduce this new Mishnah with his most beautiful, ta-ta-dam, ta-ta-dam. Thank you, Kapitan. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. So here's the case that we were talking about. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Now, note the word that begins the Mishnah. Af. Even. Aha. So that is going to be very important for us to try to understand what's going on over here. But af harotzel hadirat chaviro shiokal etzol. So somebody wants to pressure a person that he should come and eat by him. So Yomar, he should say, kol neder shani atid lidor yeh batel. Any neder that I make about this, I don't really mean. And then, bevat sheh zachur b'shat ha-neder, if, when he makes the neder, that if you don't eat by me, that you're going to be usher b'hana'ah, so then the neder isn't chal. That's what it seems to be saying. Now, the point is that that cannot be what it's saying. Because the word af means that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov considers this to be an addition to Nidrei Zeruzin. And by saying, and even in a case, what are you talking about, even? Just say, in a case where it's not Nidrei Zeruzin, but you don't want the neder to be chal, you could always make a notification in advance that I don't mean the neder that I'm talking about, right? And then, I mean, the other thing that is absolutely crazy about this Mishnah, at least, I mean, it seems to be saying that he should say it in a way that the other guy is going to hear it. No? Yomar Lo, there's even a gears you should say to him. I mean, then the guy's not going to take him very seriously at all now, is he? So that's very, very strange. And then, why are you introducing a completely new issue? The other problem is that it says, Bilvad she zachur b'sha'at ha-neder. Does that make sense? You're making the Tanai now. What do you mean, Bilvad she zachur b'sha'at ha-neder? It is the sha'at ha-neder. That sounds like a crazy statement. So the truth is, the Ran points out that the Gemara really knows that the way that we just assume that the Mishnah is talking is absolutely ridiculous. It doesn't explain the word af, and it doesn't explain the closing words of Bivat She Zachor. So that can't be the meaning. And therefore, the way that we ask the question in the Gemara now, ask the Gemara, Vikivan, the Omar called Eda Shaniati, the Dorye Batel, Lo Shamale. Well, I mean, if the other guy hears him say that tonight, so then obviously he's not going to pay any attention to this neder and he's not going to end up eating by him. Says the Ran, I mean, what kind of stupid question is that? So just say he doesn't say it in front of the other guy, like he went into the other room and said it. Because the point is, says the Ran, because when you read the Mishnah, it's obvious that that's not the pshat, because then he wouldn't have said af, and he wouldn't have said ubevache zachor. So anyway, we know something screwy with the way that the Mishnah seems to be presenting things. Therefore, says the Gemara, there's two separate issues in this Mishnah. First, there's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who says, Nidrei Zeruzin even include what we're calling disproportionate nedarim, where a guy seems to be going overboard in how upset he is about something, where it's really a little bit ridiculous. If I don't come in and eat by you, so that's it. There's no more Yisra and Ofra. I mean, like, what would that mean, Bichlal? So that's the first part of the Neder. Then there's a second part of the Neder. And the second part of the Neder is the basis of our Hataras Nedarim. This is where it comes from, is this Mishnah. And therefore, the Mishnah is Chisuri Mechasra, says the Gemara. What it should say is like this. A. Harotzer Sheochal Etzlo Chaveru Misariv Bo. Umadiro, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, af, that case, is Nidre Ziruzimu. Period. Now, next issue. What about if somebody doesn't really want to make Nidorim, and he finds that he speaks loosely about these issues, or that he forgets to say Bali Neder when he does something, gives tzedakah, makes a mishaberach, or whatever. So he doesn't want that to be begetter, any kind of Neder. What should he do? So that case, Harot Sesho, lo yitkaimu nedarav kol hashana, that's the second part. Yamod b'rosh hashana, v'yomar kol neder shani atid lidor, yehei batel. But that would only be if he remembers when he makes the Neder, that he said that it should be batel. What? That doesn't make any sense. What do you mean he remembers? So if he remembers and he makes the neder anyway, so then he's being mevatel the tanai and he's being mekayim the neder. I don't understand what you're saying. It's exactly the opposite. Is zachur? So then akre letanai vekayim leila nidre. Because why is he making a neder if he knows perfectly well that he says that the neder should be batel? Now, this is not in any way, Nogea, the first way that we understood, where over there, obviously, it meant what it said, that he should remember the neder at the time that he made it. And as a matter of fact, it's clear that he remembers the tanai at the time that he made the neder, because he just walked into the next room to say it. I mean, why would he not remember it? That was the whole point. Yes, that's true, because there's two completely different ways of understanding this thing. If a guy gets up at the beginning of the year and he says, look, I know that I usually am not aware enough about what it is that I say and how it is that I say it, right? And then, therefore, I want to say right now, I really don't mean any of it. So then, if he remembers that, then he wouldn't be loose with his language, right? That's the whole point. So why is he now going ahead and being an idiot again? So obviously saying, well, I thought I wouldn't be an idiot, but you know what? I want to be an idiot. Okay, fine, so he's mevatel tonight. But here, it's like a moda'a, not like a tanai. Listen, I just wanted to be very clear. I'm about to make a neder, but I don't mean it. So over there, of course, he remembers the tanai, and he is making the neder as a pretense. Here I'm making a neder because I want you to eat by me. There's no connection between the way we understood those words in the first part of the Mishnah, which we thought was the pshat, and then when we turned it into a chasri mechasra. Now it ought to be the opposite, that if you remember it, so then you were okay the tanai. Otherwise, you wouldn't have made the neder. Omer Abaye. So in classic Abaye Verova fashion, remember, Abaye is always ready to change the lusach, and Rava is always ready to ask. That's a great pshat, except for the unfortunate fact that it says the opposite. So here too, so Abaye says, okay, so obviously part of the Chisuri Mechasra change has got to be to change it to read Ubevat Shaloye Zachur B'Shat HaNeder, that you don't remember when you made the neder, and therefore the neder is bato. But if you remembered and you made the neder anyway, then indeed you would be Mevato the Tanai. Rav Amar, Le'olam Kedei Amrina Mi'Kora. No, the Girsa is 100% correct. What it's talking about over here is that the guy got up on Rosh Hashanah and he made a Tanai, but he can't remember what the Tanai was, meaning he knows that he was having a lot of trouble dieting, right? So now, like, he had gone through, now he goes through 10 diets a year, you know, so one of them is the ice cream diet, where all you eat is ice cream. The other one is the milk diet. The other one is the no sugar diet. The other one is the no bread diet, whatever. Okay, so he remembers that he got up at the beginning of the year, and he had made a tnai that if he ever gets fooled into this no bread diet, he doesn't mean it. Wait a minute. Did I say the no bread diet or did I say the no sugar diet? Wait a minute. I forgot. I had just worked it out, Erev Rosh Hashanah, which one was the stupid diet. And I made it tonight that if I ever take on that stupid diet, I don't mean, but I don't remember now which one was the stupid diet. So that's what it's talking about, says Rava. So there he knows that he made it tonight, but he doesn't remember what the tonight was. So what it's saying over here is that so now what it means is, if he's making a neder, zachur does not mean that he remembered in Rava's view. The word zachur means if he mentions. So at the time of the neder, he says, look, I'm making this because I want to get into the sugarless diet. But you know what? If that was the diet that I had already figured out before and that I made the tanai on, then I don't want it, right? So that's what it means. Whatever it was that the tanai was, I still want that tanai to apply. That would be what it means, Im Zachur. He had to at least mention it. And if not, he was saying, well, I don't care. It's time for diet number 79B. You know, okay, fine. So then he doesn't care. He should have at least mentioned it. Okay, so then that would be the point. So Im Zachur B'Shata Neder V'Yomar Al Data Rishona Ani Noder. So then, Nidre Lit B'Mashasha. But if he didn't even mention it, so he obviously is just ready to throw it out. And if Lo Amar Al Data Rishona Ani Noder, so then he was Oiker the Tanai, and he was Mekayim the Neder. Now, this is fascinating because it's here that all the Rishonim bring. This is where that weird thing called Kol Nidre comes from. There are these kehilas that get up at the beginning of the year and they say, Kol Nidre Ve'asore, and all of this stuff. And it doesn't make any sense because it sounds like they're trying to say that the Nidorim that they made in the past are bato, which is insane. How could they possibly say that? So, okay, so some of the Rishonim say, okay, so it has to be changed. And the correct girsa is that I will be Nidor, not that I was Nidor. And maybe that's how it started. So it was built on this Gemara, on this Mishnah with the Chisur Mechasra. And then it became this minhag. Now, what's worse is, let's take a look at the next words. Rav Huna Bar Chinana Savar L'Midrashei B'Pirka. So Rav Huna Bar Chinana wanted to go out and give a drasha that if you want to be mevatel your nedarim the whole year, so then you should get up at the beginning of the year and you should make an announcement that any nedarim that you're making, you don't mean. So Amar Lei Rava, so Rava said to him, you can't make a drasha about that. If the Tana of the Mishnah made the Mishnah indecipherable, why do you think it was a Chitzur B'Chasra? Because the Tana did not want people to understand the Mishnah. Why? Because a Mishnah is open to everybody. I mean, even kids learn Mishnayas. Amei Ha'aretz learn Mishnayas. So they're going to hear this in the Mishnah. So then that's going to be the end of Nedarim. They'll get up and they'll make a Tanai at the beginning of the year, and then they'll say whatever the heck they want to say, and make all of the Tanai, all of the Shavuos, and all of the Nedarim. You can't do that. You see that the Tana B'Dafka did not want to publicize this. And so because of this, if the Tana was Kamasim Lostumi Kedeshalo Yenagu Kalut Rosh B'Nedarim, you're going to go out and you're going to have a drasha. V'ad Darashta Le'Bepirka. So now this has more serious implications for the Kol Nidre prayer. So again, so here the Rishonim say, okay, that's why Kol Nidre doesn't make any sense. Nobody knows what it's talking about. First of all, it's all in Aramaic. So people don't talk Aramaic. So why do we keep it in Aramaic? So that they didn't know what it's talking about. As we don't want them to be knowing Kalas Rosh Benadorim. So this actually is why it's as confusing as it is, right? What do all those words mean? Okay. But there's a bigger problem. The bigger problem is that the way that we just learned the Gemara in the Machlokas Abaye v'Rava, most of the Rishonim learn that Rava is not arguing on Abaye, that it's true that if the person is not Zocher the Tanai B'Shas HaNeder, that then the Neder would be batal. It's just that Rava didn't want to change the Lashon of the Mishnah. So he made up this wild case where the guy had all these nutty diets and he couldn't decide which diet he was canceling, right? But of course, he agrees with Abaye that in the event that a person would make such a Tanai, then if he doesn't remember the Tanai, so then Enochanaim would be batal. However, unfortunately, a number of Rishonim understand the Gemara that Rava is arguing with Abaye, and that he holds just the opposite is true, that if you forgot the Tanai, then the Tanai has no power, and it's not going to cancel the Neder. So then that would mean that the reliance on the Bittul of Nedarim at the beginning of the year is a dangerous thing, because then it depends which of the Rishonim you hold like. Because if Rava is arguing on Abaye, then if you remember the Tanai, then Dafka, if you remember the Tanai, it's Batal. And if it's the other way around, if you forgot the Tanai, it's Batal. And therefore, you cannot rely on the Heter Nedarim, even the Gabi the Asid. So this is really the way that we paskin, and that you would still need to go to a Chokum for Heter, even if you made your Yom Kippur or your Rosh Hashanah Heter Nedarim description. But it's interesting, there's an interesting psak by Rav Yosef Chaim Zunenfeld, that this is only said l'gabi nedarim mamish, but things like forgetting to say b'li neder, you know, doing something three times and forgetting to say b'li neder, that for that it definitely does work. I mean, it's machalic between the memory of the thing and doing it anyway, in a case where it's just not something that you realized at the time was happening b'chlal. So l'gabi that at least it is useful for. Okay, but it's very interesting. Here, so two fascinating sugyas that come a lot out of this Gemara. One was the historical question about did people used to bring korbanas after the korban? And for how long did that go on? That's just very fascinating that the guy didn't want his wife going up there. And then the other issue is really halacha lemaisa in terms of the Kol Nidre prayer. Again, we take to be so important. Over here, we find that it's brought in as this weird minhag, and what would be the meaning of a minhag like this? Anyway, it's very cute to see the way these things develop. Okay. Anyway, also, there's a third point. I mean, this is a very important point. A, that Chisurei Mechasra is meant. It's not that something was missing. It's planned. It was something we've pointed out many, many times, that normally Chisurei Mechasra is there to preserve the integrity of Torah Shebal Peh. But here, the Gemara says that sometimes a Tana does not want people to know what the Mishnah is saying, because it's meant to be understood by people who learn the Gemara and have a grasp of the entire process of getting halacha from the Mishnah. But somebody who's going to be Pesek halacha mitoch Mishnah, which we say, Hareza mimivalei olam, those are people that destroy the world. You know, they pick up a Shulchan Aruch and they think they know how to paskin halacha. So because of that, the Tana did not want to actually expose what he was saying, la halacha, because it was too complex for people to really appreciate. Anyway, let's move on. So we're on the penultimate line, Yibo Elohu. Pliki Rabbanan Alei de Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov Olo. First of all, When Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Af, even in a case where you might really be angry, and the guy doesn't want to eat by you, and you're saying you should be Otzer Ba'ana, that's also called Nidrei Zeruzin, and you don't have to go to a Chacham. Is that only Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? In other words, that's the point. The Chachamim hold the only Nidrei Zeruzin are the Nidrei Zeruzin where everybody knows that Milachatchila, they always had in mind Shlosha Dinarim, and that there was never really any argument. And it's only Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov who uses a concept of disproportionate response to extend the envelope of Nidrei Zeruzin. But the Rabbanim basically agree with this. It was just Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov who was bringing it out. And if they do argue, Imtim Tzolomar Plige, how do we paskin? Do we paskin Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's disproportionate Nidorim? Or do we paskin only straight out Nidrei Zeruzin the way that the Chachomim have it? Says the Gemara Tashma. Well, there's a riot to that. Because we have in the Mishnah, Titznan Ha'omer L'Chaveiro. So somebody says, and it sounds like exactly the same case, which appears in the Mishnah later on, that Konam She'eni Nene L'Cha, listen, I'm going to answer everything of yours on me if you refuse to accept from me a gift. He says it nicely, a gift for your son. I mean, he doesn't really mean for your son, but he doesn't want to make the person feel that he's giving a personal gift. But, you know, I really like your kids. I want to give a gift for your kids. People do this all the time, you know. So you need to take for your son, kor shel chitim, eshtei chaviot shayayim. I mean, it's a very serious gift. A whole kor of wheat, two big barrels of wine. Wow. Okay. So, and the guy says, I don't want to take it. And the person says, well, if you're not going to take it, then I'm making a neder that you can't be, you can't, I will not get hanah from you. So that person does not need to go to a chacham. Harezi achola atirat nidor shel al pi chacham. Because his friend can say to him, look, klum amarta ala b'shvil kvodi. I mean, the only reason you made this neder is because you wanted very much that people should see how much you think of me, that you want to give me this kind of gift. I say, for my own covet, I'd prefer not to take it. So this way, I'm even more mechubad, that people should see, you know, here Donald Trump wants to make me this kind of gift, and I'm too chashuv to accept it. So that's even better. So since your entire intent was only to show me covet, this is my covet. Fine. Okay. So then that means that in this case, the neder was never chal, because since the whole point was the kavod, that is the kavod. So what does this have to do with the question of whether Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov argues with the Chacham? No, I'll tell you. Yeah. Time up. What do you see? That the only reason that we can get out of this neder is because the guy can say, this is my covet. But if I wouldn't have had that option, so then I wouldn't have had any way to get out of it, right? Even though it's clearly Nidrei Zeruzin, the guy is saying, I'm not going to ever be nene from you unless you take a gift. I mean, that's completely disproportionate. What do you mean? You'll never be men of the time? Come on, what's going on? You're going to destroy our entire relationship forever because I refuse this massive gift? I mean, and yet we're saying that it is a neder. So who do you think this is going according to? Certainly can't be going according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, because according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, trying to get somebody to eat by you, to accept a gift, it's all the same thing. And it's a disproportionate neder, and therefore it's called Nidrei Zeruzin. He said that you do not have a problem with a neder like this, and yet the Mishnah says that you do have a problem with a neder like this. The only way to get out of it is by saying that is my covet. So Shema Amina Pligi Rabbanan. So you see very clearly that the Rabbanan actually argue with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, and they can only be matir this neder because he's saying, effectively, your neder was chal. And you wanted me to be nene with this covet, I have even bigger covet. Thank you very much. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. You are assuming that this is a disproportionate neder. And I am not so sure about that at all. Because I could say that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov agrees with this. Because Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is moda that this neder is not a Nidrei Zeruzin. You know why? Because if he's trying to give a gift of that size, so then it's obvious that he feels a tremendous debt to the other person. So apparently the other person has done him some really very important favors. And that's why he's telling him, I need you to take this gift from me because I feel I owe you. And therefore, if the other person says, no, I don't want to take a gift, so then that really makes the other person very angry. And it's not disproportionate because he could say, what do you think I am, a dog? People throw things to dogs, you know, and the dog has nothing to give them back, but I'm not a dog. You've been throwing me all of these gifts, and now I finally want to show that I can give you something, and you treat me like a dog? Like, no, I don't take gifts from people like you. I don't want to have any honor from you. So the Yarmulay, Lav Kalba, not the Misanina Minav, I should always get things from you, and I'm not allowed to do any favors for you. So in this case, it may very well be that this is by no means disproportionate, and it's certainly not an umdana, and therefore Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov in this case might agree that it's not the same as getting somebody to eat by you over there. Yes, of course it's disproportionate. Okay, fair enough. So let's see, what about the next part? The same Mishnah, Toshma. Ha'omer l'chaviro, konem shata nenet li. What about the other way around? He says, anything that you would get from me is usra on you, unless you give a gift to my son. So, im iata noten kur livni, Levni kur shalchitim shtei chaviot shoyayim. This is the same case, but in the inverse. So Rabbi Meir says, if he doesn't give it, he's going to be usur. Ad sheyitein. There's no way to get out of this neder other than by actually giving the gift. V'chachomim omrim, no, you can get out of this neder too. Av ze yachol atir et nidro shelo al pi chacham. And all he has to say is, you know, I understand that you want very much for me to accept that gift from you. You know what? Harini ki'ilu hitkabalti. It's as if I already accepted this gift and I thought, you know, that I needed it, but turns out I didn't need it at all. So for all intents and purposes, I already received this gift. I had just the schus of talking to you. An amazing thing happened. The bank suddenly sent me a check from, I don't even need the money. Thank you so much. Okay, but anyway, so taima. But the whole point is that he says, ki ilu hitkabalti. But if he didn't say, areni ki ilu hitkabalti, it would have been a neder. So I have the same argument. If according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, I mean, isn't this very much disproportionate? So it's clearly nidre ziruzinave. What does that mean? If you don't give me a big gift like this, then that's crazy. Elalav Rabbanan. So therefore, it must be the Rabbanan who hold this, and he's trying to pressure them. And Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, pressuring doesn't count. That's called Zeruzim. And according to the Rabbanan, it does count, even in this case. And therefore, it must be that apparently they really are arguing, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, on the Chachamim. Must be. No, says the Gemara. This can also work out, even according to Rabbi Yezman Yaakov. You're the one who decided that it's disproportionate. How do you know it's disproportionate? Le'olam, it could be going even on leaving Rabbi Yezman ben Yaakov. And Rabbi Yezman Yaakov is made in this particular case that it's not called Nidre Zeruzin. Because over here, he could say to him, listen, you know how many favors I've given you over the years? You know, don't you think it's about time that you respond a little bit? So what do you think I am? You think I'm the king? You know, the king gives out castles and gives out lands, and he's got it all in his hands. Right. Don't cost him nothing. Well, let me tell you, all of these gifts I've been giving you, they sure as heck do cost me. And therefore, I want to say a little bit about Korosteva, you know? I'm not a king. Mishum dormele lav malkana, that I could keep taking care of you. Ma'anina lecha. And you never give me something that I need. Right now I need this, and now you're not ready to help me out. You could say afterwards, I don't really need it. Fine, that's okay. But you certainly cannot assume that this is a neder that is disproportionate. You don't know what's going on in the background. And the truth is, I mean, why would somebody say this unless he really felt that the other person owed him that kind of thing, right? So the mashmaut is exactly like we said before, There's dvorim bego, something's going on in the background, and therefore there's no reason to assume ipso facto that this would be considered to be nidrei zirusin al libe d'Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So we still don't know. What would be the din? Do the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, or do they agree with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? And we certainly don't know what the halacha is, but all of that, Bezrat Hashem, we will meet up with tomorrow.